Well, what's going on, everybody? It's your girl, Lady J, and your girl, Love Love, who's here right here with me.
I have to set up the other stuff.
Yes, and this is the Mind His Business Show. Thank you so much for being with us every week. We know we got some faithful listeners. You are so wonderful. We get great feedback from each and every one of you. We love what you have to say. We have taken your feedback from the week, and we are putting together some fantastic, wonderful, awesome new content that's going to be out here very soon. And so what we want you to do is continue to send us your information that you want us to know about topics that you want
to
discuss. While she's getting that together, continue to give us information about what topics you want to talk about on this show. So far we've gotten a lot of good ones, and we want to continue that list because I'm putting together a nice course. We're going to deliver it by email, and we'll have an actual course online. Everybody knows that there's courses online that you can take to learn just about anything. And we really feel like it's going to be good to get into a deeper dive on some of these very important topics. So I'm looking right now for a name. Like, what should I name it? I'm kind of thinking Antichrist Crushers, because we're defeating all of the lies of the enemy. I'm also thinking about maybe Tough Questions Answered. I don't know. I need a good name. So send us some information about what name you think I should call this course. So there's a few ways that you can contact us. Of course, you can text your comments to the radio station number, which is 402-819-8941. You can also send us an email to the radio station at gospelmusicomaha@gmail.com. That's gospelmusicomaha@gmail.com.
Hi, everybody.
Or you can also just go to the contact page on our website. Just go to gospelmusicomaha.com and then hit the little button that says contact and send us your information that way. We want to know what topics are you most interested in, as well as what do you think I should call the series of courses that I'm going to put together. So I actually have two courses that I'm putting together. One is going to be 52 Weeks of Preparedness.
Now that we have everybody, we
one,
do it again.
One is going to be 52 Weeks of Preparedness, where every week I'm going to give you some tips in your email box on what kind of things you will want to store up on in case we have a problem, like all these things that we've been seeing, whether it's floods, whether it's fires, whether it's, gosh, what other things have we had? Extreme cold, blizzards. We've had a lot of weather and other challenges. And I'm putting together a course for things that you would want to have in your home or in your apartment or in your kitchen pantry to ensure that you can withstand all these crazy things that are happening out there in our society. What's going on, everybody? It's the Mind His Business Show.
It's your girl, Lady J, and your girl, Love Love. We are the Mind His Business Show.
You got it. Okay. So that's one of the courses that I'm putting together. But the other one is purely going to be based on topics that we've been getting feedback on and topics that are going to be the most important as we go into these uncertain times that are ahead. Because there's a lot going on. It's a lot going on politically. It's a lot going on spiritually. There is a lot of attacks and distractions against our faith as Christ followers, and we want to be able to do exactly what the scripture says, which is be instant in season and out of season to give an answer to the things that people are talking about out there.
Well, to be diligent
and to know,
you have to be diligent,
yes, and to not just know what you believe but know why you believe it and be able to give a defense for your faith. So having said that, once again, welcome to the Mind His Business Show. We appreciate you being here. Hold on. Your mic. Yes, your cord is caught around your microphone. Here we don't want to have a disaster.
All right, everybody.
All right, that's great. So So that's the main thing. Of course, you're going to want to always follow us on our social media channels at Gospel Music Omaha for the radio station. And specifically for this show is called the Mind His Business Show. So just follow us at Mind His Business. And we're ramping up our social media calendar for this year to be able to bring content all the time that you're going to love as being what do they say? Your vibe is your tribe. The tribe that's along with us.
I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's a branding term. They say your vibe is your tribe. That there are people out there that will appreciate what you have to offer to the world.
And we're doing our best to, we want to tell you that we're doing our best to be on time. So we want everybody to be ready between 5 o'clock and 5:05 or 5:10 p.m. on Sunday. Okay.
So what's on your mind for this week, love?
I have so much on my mind, but y'all, I first have to tell you this. I am making homemade chicken McNuggets.
Well, you can't say McNuggets.
No, I'm about to tell you the name that I'm going to call is Mama Nuggets.
Is that
chicken
like
my Mama Nuggets.
Is that like coming to America when he was McDowell's?
Yeah.
And it's like they got the Mc, what did he say? The McDonald's versus McDowell's?
McDowell's. Wasn't it McDowell's or something? Yeah,
it was McDowell's, and everything was that a knockoff of McDonald's.
I hate to tell y'all, that was a funny, funny show.
So you got your Mama Nuggets going on.
Yes,
okay.
I do. And it brings me.
And I'm there for every bit of it.
Okay.
Every bit of it. Look, I'm clowning, but I'm there for every bite.
It's going to be delicious, and it's going to be crispy on the outside, and it's gonna be juicy on the inside. And I know most people use white meat. I'm not a fan of white meat. It's just too dry, and it sticks to my roof, and it chokes me when I try to swallow and breathe at the same time. So I do dark meat instead. Not white meat. I do dark meat, and it's easier on my teeth. On my teeth too.
Oh my goodness. I don't know. Even when you cook white meat chicken, it'd be good. Y'all, I need to tell y'all something about this Love sitting here.
What?
Love is a phenomenal chef.
She lays
it down.
You get lovies for that. Yes, you do. You get lovies. That's why we best friends, y'all.
She can lay it down in the kitchen. And by the way, if you're a single man looking for a wife who can cook, Love is there for it. You can cook. Yes, I'm putting it out there. She is single and available, and she is a good catch. Look, I'm about to up her up real quick. She is single. She is available. All of her children are grown, so there is no baby daddy drama.
No. The first thing is, do you know King Jesus?
She
knows. You don't know King Jesus?
She is fully devoted and committed to Christ, and her morals and her character and her ethics match her profession of faith.
Sweet baby Jesus.
She is very loving and gentle and generous and will definitely make you feel like the head of the household should feel, for sure. So yes, I'm putting it out there. Love is, and
you know,
she's
what?
An excellent home manager.
We're gonna have it me and you. We're gonna be having the word of the words.
She is
word of the words.
I'm putting it out there. So some of y'all that have been too scared to speak up and say something, y'all go ahead and speak up and say something. Just type in Love in Facebook. You find her and message her. Or type in Love in Instagram.
Okay,
Messenger. But here's the thing. When you message her, do not be coming straight at her with, you know, like them little pictures. You know, y'all know what kind of pictures I'm talking about. Because she ain't going to look at none of those at all.
Pics.
Come at her. Come at her like you got some sense in your head. You know, your profile is wonderful. Or I heard about you on the radio, and I've been a little shy about saying something. But I'm going to go ahead and take my opportunity. I would love to get to know you more. And she will. She will respond. Now, I will say this. Now that I've laid out how awesome she is, you can't be coming with no BS, and you can't be coming with a bunch of games and bunch of problems, and you're not being serious about it, because she's going to see through all that. Remember, we have owned a rap recording studio and a barbershop. So you are not going. We have seen every game.
You can try.
We have seen every play and every game that a man can play and game. And it will not work if you're not serious about it. And if you don't have something really, truly to bring to the table so that it can truly be a team effort. So
King Jesus has to do it. Now let's talk about you. Turnabout is fair play.
There's nothing Booyah! To talk about me.
Booyah! Yeah. What kind of men are you interested in, Jackie?
No. That wasn't.
What kind of men are you interested in?
Nope. See, you're not playing the game.
No.
Right.
Yes, I'm playing. Nope. I'm playing
because
turnabout
I just laid
is
out.
Fair play.
Mm-mm.
What kind of husband are you looking for?
First of all, I didn't ask you what husband you were looking for. I was telling them what you bring to the table as wife potential.
Listen, what do you bring to the table as
well? You
as
need
wife
to say
potential?
That.
Okay, Jackie.
You need to say all
Jackie,
that.
Jackie, what type of potential do you bring to the table?
You're supposed
you
don't know
wife.
You don't know.
You need to tell them, not me.
No, I just told them about you. So now you need. If you're gonna play the game, then you need to tell them about me.
First of all, number one, she is. She's very stern and meaner than a bandit. Just
what?
So you know.
Let me, it's not going to catch me a man.
Yes, it is. Because if you can deal with her, then, and I mean lovingly. See,
wow.
Lovingly.
How's she gonna take away with
men?
The
no, you need to know that there are men that really love a challenge. And she is just that. She's a challenge. Okay. Now, because I cook for her, don't come with no mess, okay? She not trying to do no hot dogs. You can't, nope. If you're going to talk to a restaurant, it cannot be no hot dogs and hamburgers. It got to be real food because that's how I cook for her, okay? I don't.
That's how you cook for everybody, and that's the point.
What I have on your
because
snack
you
today?
Said what
now,
you
let
say.
Me, what, let me tell you what I had on her snack. Tell what I had on my on your snack today.
Oh, it was gorgeous presentation.
But what? But
it was
what
a ham
was
sandwich. Y'all know how y'all say, "Fix me a ham sandwich." It was a ham sandwich
with,
but it had tomatoes on it. It had shredded cheese on it, and you know it was all presented like it was gourmet restaurant.
Don't come with no mess, okay?
When Love is on social media doing her cooking posts, she says, "I'm what's cooking, good looking." So yeah, you say it for the people.
I had to change it up.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I had to change it to "I'm who's cooking" because "I'm what's cooking" doesn't make very much sense.
Well, yeah,
because
people
I'm not
say
a what,
what's cooking
because I'm not a what I'm. I'm me, so
okay.
I'm who's cooking.
Anyway,
good looking.
We're going to get off of this topic and move on to other things.
No, you don't. Oh, no, sister. Oh, no. I have to finish talking about you, okay?
Well, you're not really selling me very well.
Hey, the thing is not selling. It's called truth,
no,
okay?
No, you're not selling me
you
very well.
You have to tell the truth. You already know she's gorgeous, okay?
Oh.
You already know head to toe she is straight up gorgeous. Okay.
That's a nice
yeah. Hi down there. Okay. See, that's what happened when you start. Now you see people starting to respond now. Okay.
Well, they joining.
So she is, don't. So you must feed her very, very well. Okay. Don't come with no mess. Okay. And that's as well as in her private life. Don't come with no mess. Come with truth. She will call you on a lie immediately. Like, you know, some people let you walk it on down the street and round the corner. No. She will call you on it right then and there. Yes, she will. So, I already said she's gorgeous. So, I'll say it again. She's gorgeous. She's extremely smart. Very intelligent. Very left brain. And because she's that way, there's a very intellectual side that's very that I can see that turns. Does that turn you on, Jackie?
What you mean?
Intellectual. A person who's very intellectual, who can have a conversation.
Of course.
What I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Anybody out there that can have a very intelligent conversation. Now, if you're real simple, no. So
Sorry, she is not telling me well at all.
Hey, listen, we don't want them to run. We're fools rush in like that. Okay. You have to have a brain. You have to know how to use your brain, and you have to know how to, let's just say, be able to express what it is that you need and want, and not sexually and things of that nature. That's not going to happen. It's just not, okay?
What's that supposed to mean?
Because some men try to lead with their penises. No, that's not going to work. You know how they'll stand up and try to show you the lump in their stump? You know, all that kind of stupidity. No, it's not about that. It's not about that at all. I'm going to say this, last but not least. You know, she has a heart. She has a heart for people. She has a heart. Ever since she's been rapping since 1985, she has had a heart for the lost. That is extremely, extremely attractive. Jackie, that is, you have to love people, because you'll get jealous or something if she has to go somewhere and rap, or if she has to, you know, do this or do that, and that won't fly. You have to be someone who's well adjusted and who doesn't mind sharing, as far as her being able to minister and do the things that she does. You can't be jealous. Mm-mm. Okay, you can't be jealous. You have to be very confident. That's what I'm saying. You have to be confident. Is there anything that I missed, Jackie?
Oh, there's plenty that you missed, but I'll take what you said.
Can you go
No,
ahead?
Because we're about to move on. We got other
Why
things to talk about.
Why can't you just say?
Because I'm not going to do that unless you contact me. Then we can talk more.
There you go. And, of course, there's a lot. If you want to even get through the screen door, not the front door, but the screen door with me, yeah, let's have a conversation. We're both single, and I'll speak for me, I'm very happy with King Jesus being my husband, but it would be nice to, I don't know, someone to hold me, someone to, you know, and with my brain, you know, really stimulate me and things of that nature, and be able to be patient and things of that nature. So, yeah.
Well, since we're on the subject, it's not the first time that we've talked about it, but maybe that's a good segue into
it. It's a long time since we talked about it.
It has. So
years.
Why don't we pull up the big passage about that, and that's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We'll just kind of parse through that a little bit today, because really and truly, some people do have the gift of singleness. I believe I have the gift of singleness, where I'm not driven by that procreative energy in the same way. I take that procreative energy and I put it into the things that God has called me to
now
do.
Now, you used a very big word, procreative. Can you please explain that for people
Lord.
Who are... No, I told you, always be simple.
Okay. So, you know that fire that you get down in the nether regions?
Down under?
And it motivates you because it feels like a very strong need or a craving. That is built and designed into each and every one of us by God in order to make sure that we are fruitful and multiply, as well as putting us in a situation where it causes us to be bonded together for life so that we can reflect the image of God. Mm-hmm. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, mm-hmm. when he said it is not good for man to be alone, he will make a partner or a mate suitable for him, a helpmeet. That's the barn cat. We talked to y'all about the barn cat.
Oh my goodness, that's Wolvie.
Come here, Wolvie. This is Wolverine, the barn cat.
Hi, Wolvie.
You cannot be on this show right now. All right, so what I was saying is that...
Wolverine.
When God said, let us make humankind in our image, mm-hmm. he created...
Oh, really?
Oh, my goodness.
Really? What, baby? What? I love you too, sugar.
Okay, I'm going to put a pin in that. Let me go put the cat away. You talk to them for 2 seconds while I put the cat away.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Come on, Wolverine.
So, it's not good for man to be alone. And there's a reason why he says that it's not good for man to be alone. And he said, and I will make a helpmeet that is suitable. Do you get it? Suitable. And that means he knows what you don't know. Okay? He knows about you things that you may not even understand, or things that you're going to grow into that you may not even understand. But he does. And he will make a suitable mate. And that mate is not, you know, in my opinion, okay, is not woman and woman, man and man, okay? Or else we would not be here today, okay? That's why we have man and woman, and that's how we continue to have children and have a legacy and generation and upon generations upon generations. If you don't have, you know, a suitable mate, you... it will fail. It will fail, or you might end up in divorce, or someone may hurt you. Now I do need to say this. There are grounds for divorcing. Treachery. Treachery is in the Bible, and it basically treachery means if they take their hands to you or they beat you. That is, that's an out, okay? Things of that nature. And also, two people don't know it. Some of you have been divorced before, okay? And he says he doesn't like divorce. God does not like divorce, but he said he permits it because of all of that, and that's sad. You know, that's very, very sad.
So before I jump into 1 Corinthians 7, let's kind of set the table a little bit.
Okay.
I used a big word earlier, and that word was procreation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you break down that word, it has pro and creation. It means it's good to create.
Mm-hmm.
Or to put those two words together means it's a positive action toward doing something creative. So procreation, we usually means what we mean when we say that in regular English is mm-hmm. having babies. Okay, but the word procreative or procreation means to literally take the essence of the man and the essence of the woman, combine them together, and then there is new life. It begins at conception, mm-hmm. and then it develops into adulthood, and then the process can repeat. If man and woman do not, when man and woman come together in the intimate union mm-hmm. that we're referring to, this is a family show. It's not so much of a union as much as it is a reunion,
right?
Because it then brings a sense of oneness that is unlike any other action that humans can take with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So when God said, let us make man or humankind in our image, the reason why male and female were created, it says right after that, so he made man and he made male and female, he made them, was because he wanted to show what it means to have two or more than one become one.
Now, stop right there. I need to interject this. Why do you think he said, let us? The word is us, U-S, us.
So the us in that passage, if you study more of the scriptures, which maybe that's one of the topics we'll do on our advanced course series, is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which you can see all in Genesis 1 and all throughout scripture. You have God the Father, you have God the Son, who is referred to as the Word, and then you have God the Holy Spirit. Those three all are different parts, but they are one God. So in the beginning, God the Father said, that's the Word, that's
mm-hmm.
Jesus,
yes,
let there be light, there was light, and darkness hovered over the face of the deep. And the Holy Spirit,
thank you,
is who hovered over the face of the deep
mm-hmm.
to then become the activator of the Word that came from the Father. So when it says, let us make
yes.
humankind in our image, it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together in concert as one God, unified as one, even though they are three different aspects. They then created us.
Yes.
So when we are created in his image, then we are created and designed to also create in our image. You ever seen a child that looked just like his mama or just like his daddy?
Mm-hmm.
I done seen some girls that look just like their daddies. I'm like, oh boy, you could not deny that baby, even if you wanted to,
oh,
and
yeah.
vice versa.
Yep.
So we then reproduce or we procreate because that is the reflection of the one who created us.
Correct.
So you see the template in Genesis, and then your own body bears witness to those opposites that come together mm-hmm. as one. Okay? So that's why there's such an attack on the biblical family. You notice in the media and in social media and just in society and culture in general, just about anything is accepted as long as it's not one man, one woman married, working together, and then creating children that they then can pass on not only their genetics and their DNA, but also right. their values and their future, all through this reflection of what God looks like.
That's what generations
are. So that's mm-hmm. why there's so much of a push toward all kind of alternative lifestyles, mm. whether it's homosexual, whether it's bestiality, whether it's transgender, whether it's polysexual, whether it's bestiality, whether it's it doesn't matter what it is. Society says all of that is great and wonderful and good as long as you're not one man, one woman committed in marriage under God and procreating a child that you then pass on the spirit of God and the values of God yes. to your children.
Hallelujah.
As long as you're not doing that, they're okay with everything else. Orgies, fornication, adultery, everything.
Humanism,
because
all that.
It breaks that original design. And then you introduce concepts into that mix, such as abortion, such as excessive birth control that are long-term birth controls. And you begin to see that this is more than just my individual choice whether or not to have sex and whether or not to have a baby.
Right.
There is a satanic push against
agenda.
Marriage and family,
right, agenda.
Because marriage and family is one of the best representation of what God is like mm-hmm. here on earth. So I want to show you a couple of articles before we jump into that passage in 1 Corinthians 7. So let me pull up my browser here.
Okay.
And these are just a couple of articles, pardon me, referring to the declining birth rates in the United States. So here's an article right here, the National Center for Health Statistics. It says the U.S. fertility rate drops to another historic low. Mm, that means it's never been this low.
That's by design. You know that, right?
Well, yes.
That's by design.
If we're all having sex with condoms and birth controls, and we're all having alternative forms of sex, fill in the blank with your preferred type, and then if there are babies being procreated from these unions, we're then murdering them before they even get a chance to be born. Well, what do you end up with? You end up with fewer babies actually being born and being raised in any sort of fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So it says here in this article that the general fertility rate in the United States decreased by another 3% from 2022, reaching a historic low.
Correct.
This marks the the second consecutive year of decline, following a brief 1% increase from 2020 to 2021, which obviously everybody was home making babies during COVID. So there was a little bit of a bump during COVID. It's going to be a whole bunch of COVID babies graduating high school in about
Hallelujah.
18 years.
Hallelujah is all I have to say. Hallelujah.
But it says from 2014 to 2020, the rate consistently decreased by 2%
Yikes.
Every single year.
Yikes.
So you wonder why they're allowing so many immigrants to come into the country. Mm, well, they've got to keep the tax base going.
Mm.
And the only way to do that is by having more people of working age. And if Americans themselves are aborting or not having babies, they got to have those working people in here somehow. So there's your immigration right there, is they need to replace the population that we're not naturally having.
And then there's fewer people paying taxes. Come on, let's keep it real.
Correct. So here's another article, just jumping real quick. This is from CNN Health. U.S. fertility rate dropped to the lowest in a century as births dipped in 2023.
Mm-hmm.
It says the fertility rate has been trending down for decades, and a new report shows that another drop in births in 2023 brought the rate down to the lowest it's been in more than a century. There were about 3.6 million babies born in 2023, or stated another way, that's 54.4 live births for every 1,000 females aged 15 to 44. So that means if there's 1,000 women out there, only 54 of them had a baby in 2023. After a steep plunge in the first year of the COVID-19 pandemic, the fertility rate has fluctuated, but the 3% drop between 2022 and 2023 brought the rate just below the previous low from 2020, which was 56 births per 1,000 women. The teen birth rate reached another record low of 13.2 births per 1,000 females, which is 79% lower than it was at its most recent peak from 1991. So teen births are going down, which I actually think that's not a bad thing.
Because they're not mature enough to handle a baby.
Exactly.
And nor do they have a job, and nor whoever they're sleeping with. Half the time, it's sad, but they don't even know who the father is.
Now, all of these articles are from 2024. This next one is from the Associated Press, or AP. So notice, I'm not pulling any alternative news sites. These are mainstream news. You can look them up yourself. This article says U.S. births fell last year, marking an end to the late pandemic rebound. And then if you go down here, it says a little under 3.6 million babies were born in 2023. That's about 76,000 fewer than the year before, and the lowest one-year tally since 1979. That's really, really down.
And down in more than one way.
What I'm curious to know is declining birth rates among African American women.
Let's go.
Birth rates for African American women.
And in case you didn't know, it seems to be, and you know, Jackie, and I apologize if it offends anyone, I really do, but I would like to see more black women with black men. I have seen a decline in that as well. It would be nice if the mothers and the fathers are both in the home together raising their children. It would be wonderful. But it seems as though they're promoting, I don't see anything on, I'll just be honest with you, on any TV shows where there's a black man with a black woman. If you are listening in right now, please name any shows where you see a black man with a black woman. Please, because all I see is, you know, people who, where the black money or the wealth is being given to other. That's the only word I'm going to use, is other.
So I just pulled up a few articles about declining fertility, not fertility, but declining birth rates for minority women, specifically African American. Here's one from the Institute of Family Studies. Baby bust. Fertility is declining the most among minority women. United States just hit a 40-year low in its fertility rate. It says the entire U.S. indicates about 3.85 million births in 2017. Let's see. Remarkable slump in fertility. I'm looking specifically for minority women. Okay, let's keep going.
I'll be hard pressed to see how long it takes you to find, because it seems like as though the black woman has just been tossed away, you know, and that our black men are just being given over to other, and that's sad. It's very, very sad.
Here's an article from the Economic Policy Institute. The black birth rate converges on the white rate. Among U.S.-born black women had the strongest birth rate decline from 1990 to 2010. That means we're having even fewer babies than the white folks.
Come on.
What does that mean? Does that mean we're having more abortions? Does it mean that we're being more chaste and not fornicating as much? I doubt that if you look at any reality show on TV. It says that... that's according to the Pew Social and Demographic Trends. The birth rate declined 29% for blacks, 25% for Asians, 21% for Hispanics, but only 5% for whites. Wow.
Now, you got to look it up, okay? What is the percentage of black women marrying white men?
I don't know, but I think that's... let's set that one aside here real quick and finish this out.
Okay, so we can do it after you finish that one out.
So this one is Statistica.com, all about statistics. The total fertility rate in the United States in 2022 by the ethnicity of the mother. So for Native Americans, they're the highest at 2,237. Hispanics, 1969 per 1.969. Black Hispanic, 1.639. White, 1.568. American Indian, 1.4. And Asian, 1.3. So what I'm driving at here is not to say run out there and have a baby. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is that we have many, many forces that are working to essentially depopulate the entire world. And we know that this is something that is in scripture, because the Bible talks about how one third of the earth is going to die at one point in Revelation. And then of the people that are left, another one third is going to die through other various means.
Don't forget to look up
in Revelation. Well, I mean, whether or not they're with someone who's non-black or not,
we're doing statistics.
It's not the point.
We're doing statistics. Statistics, that's what we're doing.
I get that, but that's not really the point.
No, the reason why I'm saying is because it seems as though black wealth is leaving our communities, and which is another downfall for why they're not having more children, is because of the wealth. And that's the reason why I was having you.
I don't think that's it at all.
That's, okay. So I'll just name someone, okay? So a lot of the black wealth seems to be leaving and going over to the white end of things.
I appreciate what you're saying, but this is not about the wealth.
I know, but I wanted you to do the statistics on it. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted, because if we're saying statistics, these are the statistics. I don't want you just half informed. Be informed about everything.
But that's beside the topic, though. The topic is that nobody is having children anymore. That's the topic. That Satan is working to kill off human beings.
I'm for love. If you love the person and you're both not the same color or whatever the case may be, that's very, very important, is that you marry for love and not for looks. Because a lot of the elite, of what I've been noticing, they marry for what you call wealth. That's what they marry for. They don't marry, a lot of them don't marry for love. And I'm saying, you know, if you're going to marry someone, truly, truly, you know, love them. Truly be in love with them. Don't just say, I'm just marrying this person because of their color or just because of their race. Marry them because that's who you feel comfortable with, that King Jesus has for you, so that you don't be throwing up the statistics for the divorce rate.
So I will give you one statistic because you asked, but even though it's beside the topic. Interracial marriage, there's a dramatic increase in interracial marriages for black and white couples. The share of recent findings of married blacks to a spouse of a different ethnicity has tripled from 5% in 1980.
Did you say tripled?
From 5% in 1980 to 18% in 2015, while the recently married white have doubled the rate from 4% to 11%. So I really don't think that is the main issue or the even important issue, because you're only talking about 1 out of 10, 1 out of 8, something like that.
Well, at least you didn't say.
All right. So going back to the headline.
That's cool.
Love. Going back to the headline. The headline here is that Satan does not want anything that we do to reflect God accurately.
Right.
And so
doesn't matter what race you are.
And so he is doing everything he can to discourage having children. And eventually it's going to get to the point where you won't be allowed to have children unless you comply with whatever things that they want you to comply with.
I saw where they had people, babies in bags. What's going on with that?
You mean the artificial wombs that they're experimenting
with? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you that, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm telling you the truth.
So the truth. The devil or Satan and those who are operating underneath his influence have always sought to kill God's children before they get a chance to do God's will. I can name you two examples just off the top of my head without even getting in the scripture. One would be Moses, that Pharaoh was trying to kill off all the babies, yep, and Moses was hidden, and he ended up doing excellent and wonderful things under God's direction. Jesus was another. When he was to be born, Herod, who was a terrible king, had heard that the Hebrews had this prophecy that a Messiah or a king was coming to rule over the world. And Herod was so jealous and insecure about this that he demanded that all the babies under age of 2 be killed.
Slaughtered, yep.
So that he could kill off the bloodline to prevent any other king, especially not a Hebrew king, to take over his throne. So Satan is doing the same thing to us. He wants us to have babies by just random people. We don't know their bloodline. We don't know their generational baggage. And I mean that genetically as well as spiritually. Mm-hmm. We don't have any sort of connection or relationship that can drive and teach these children the values of the Lord. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It is important that we who are believers in Christ pass down our spiritual values as well as our wealth, as you say, which is important, love. It is important that we build generational wealth for our children.
Thank you, Jackie.
It is important. It is even more important, however, that we build their spiritual wealth first and foremost by teaching them of the Lord. And if you don't have children, can't have children, that is okay. There's plenty of options to foster.
I was adopted.
There's options to adopt.
Mm-hmm. My dad's a pastor.
There's still alive. There's another scripture in the Old Testament. I can't quote the verse right now, but it says he sets the lonely in families. We talked about that a few weeks ago. So having a family there's lots of different ways to have a family. But we're talking specifically about the original design God put to take that energy between a man and his wife, a husband and his wife, and to be fruitful and multiply.
Yes.
It says in Proverbs that blessed is the man who has children, like a quiver full even. So having children is a blessing from the Lord. And it's not a curse. It's a blessing. The world will try to make you feel like, well, it's just such a curse to be pregnant. And, oh, they forced me to be pregnant. And that's why I need my women's reproductive rights to do what? Kill this baby? So there's a satanic agenda behind that. We've talked before about the whole founder of the Planned Parenthood movement, Margaret Sanger, how literally she started the whole movement so she could kill black people and poor people. And that's why so many Planned Parenthoods are located in lower income neighborhoods, because it was all part of her eugenics plan.
It just makes me want to cry.
All of these things are designed to interrupt God's glory in our lives. So now that I kind of set that stage, there are some individuals in the body of Christ who have the gift of singleness. They have the gift of celibacy. They're not driven as much by that procreative energy, that need, that desire, that craving. They're more interested in the things of the Lord.
Case in point, because I had already been, you know, married before. My makeup is different than Jackie, who's never been married before. So they're that high.
People jumping on the live.
Yeah. Yep.
So we want to just kind of set the stage here for this 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And that was a big, long detour for us to get here.
That's all right.
But 1 Corinthians 7 is a good place for us to just jump in and just kind of talk through a few of these verses that are here and see how does it apply to us today, or how can it apply to us today, because all scripture may not have been written directly to you, but all of it has been written for you, for your edification, for your growth, for your faith, and to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Correct.
And he is the prize that we are all striving toward in Christ, to be more like him and to have more of him working through us. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, starting at, excuse me, verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, this is Paul talking, the Apostle Paul. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. And that means in a sexual way.
Mm-hmm.
It's good if you can refrain from needing that physical interaction or intimacy with a woman. So he's saying it's good if you do have that
singleness of heart,
that self-control to where mm-hmm. that is not dominating your thoughts or your desires. Nevertheless, he says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Not somebody else's wife.
Right.
Not somebody who's not your wife.
And not sharing a wife.
Not
sorry, had to be said.
But he says, let every man have his own wife, right. And let every woman have her own husband. Some of y'all women love getting with the married men because you think, good, you can get what you need from them and send them home.
You're just a whoremonger.
Well,
I mean it. I'm not taking it back.
I'm not going to put it quite that bluntly. But what I will say is that sometimes that is a desire for personal gain, but without having the responsibilities of a real intimate relationship. Mm-hmm. And there's something unhealthy about that.
Mm-hmm.
So it says, nevertheless,
it's very selfish.
To avoid fornication. What is fornication? Fornication is being intimate with or having sex with someone that you are not married to. Another context that we see fornication often in the Bible deals with idolatry, that your desires are towards some other God other mm-hmm. than the Most High God.
Yep.
So you will see that oftentimes in a spiritual context, and it's talking about idolatry. But in a physical context, it's talking about sleeping with somebody who's not your wife.
Mm-hmm.
So just to wrap up verses 1 and 2, he says, it's a good thing if you're not totally driven by your physical urges. However, to avoid fornication, get your own wife. And if you're a woman and you really have a strong desire in that aspect of your life, get your own husband. Not somebody else's husband, not someone that you're not married to at all.
Right.
Not, you know, just randos. Not casual.
God has to do it.
Not swiping left, swiping right, and doing something casual or one night or all that other kind of stuff.
God has to do it, because you just don't go and marry anybody. You got to be careful, Jackie.
Correct.
What you're saying, they should be very selective, and they should hear from the Holy Spirit.
That is true, but statistically, it is also true that married couples just have it all better in life. More income, more opportunities, more stability. All of these things are true, and maybe I'll pull up some statistics.
Yeah,
because
you don't want to marry nobody that you don't want to lean on nobody you can't trust. Mm-hmm. No, it's not worth it, Jackie. And I know a lot of y'all like those side pieces on the side. You like a chicken, a thigh, and a leg, and breasts, and all that. No, no, no. Y'all know I like chicken, so anyways. It's a family show, like you said.
Marriage is better for your health, though.
You live longer. Did you know that?
Let's see. The health advantages mm-hmm. of marriage, according to Harvard Health, just real quick here, I'm not going to jump over there. Married people may take fewer risks. They will eat better. They maintain healthier lifestyles on mm-hmm. average compared with single people.
They live longer.
It also, mm-hmm. there's evidence that married people tend to keep regular doctor's appointments and follow doctor's recommendations more often than single people. So definitely health is...
wealth. Health is your wealth.
Your health is your wealth. That is very true. Some other things about health. They have a tendency to have fewer strokes or heart attacks. They have they live longer, lower chance of becoming depressed, less likely to have advanced cancer at the time of diagnosis, and more likely to survive cancer for a longer period of time.
Right.
And they survive a major operation more often. So there's a lot of health benefits in that. And I'm not even getting into the financial benefits or financial statistics for married couples as opposed to singles. But let's keep going on this passage. We kind of want to stay with the headline mm-hmm. here. Let me jump back over to this here. So there are advantages to being married. And I know that if you listen to the internet, they'll say there's no advantage to being married. Yeah, if you get married, taxes. You're going to take all your money.
Your taxes is going to be taken.
Well, the guys that are complaining and the most bitter about that are the ones that didn't choose well to start with, because they were led by their loins instead of their spirit.
Led by their groins and their loins.
Right. So let's keep going. Verse 3. Let the husband render unto the wife. Now notice, husband and wife, not boyfriend, girlfriend, right. Not man and woman. Not adult and child, God forbid. Let the husband render or give unto his wife due benevolence. That yes. word benevolence, another interpretation would be affection.
Correct.
Let the husband give to his wife due affection. Because some men, once you got the woman, you stop doing all those romantic and affectionate things you did you were trying to win her
take
over.
Her out on the, you don't even take her out one time. Throughout, okay. You know, for the whole entire week, you don't even take her out for lunch, breakfast, dinner, or just a movie, or just spend some time with just her or anything. You just don't.
Now, the Greek.
You're just sad.
The Greek word here for benevolence is eunoia, and it means kindness or affection, as I mm-hmm. said. But euphemistically, it also means conjugal duty. You ever heard of a conjugal visit in jail?
You in jail.
conjugal visit means it means to have a lovey time. It's a family show. Doggone it. It's have that intimate physical time with someone.
Yeah. Now, if the jail does that, why would you not want to give your wife due affection? So think about it. If the jail gives, think for a moment, Jackie. If the jail gives a conjugal visit, why wouldn't you want to give your wife due affection?
So think about this. Let's go back. So let the husband give unto his wife due conjugal visits or due affection, or stated another way, don't withhold sexually from your wife.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise, also the wife unto the husband.
Husband, right.
There are many couples in many relationships that use sex as a weapon.
Yeah.
They withhold sex in order to punish their spouse.
That's sad.
And that's a very fast way to head toward a divorce, is to withhold the due affection to each other.
Now, women, y'all got that bad. Y'all got that bad. Where you'll say, oh, I'm going to punish him, or I'm not going to. Guess what? You go sleep on the couch for the fourth week. You know, stuff like that. You need to cut that stuff out. You really do. That's nothing but of Satan.
Well,
it's designed to destroy the family home. And that is a sin. That's a sin.
It is not taking the godly wisdom that Paul is offering here.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, if your marriage is having problems, the solution probably is to have more intimate time with each other and not less. Even if you have to schedule it, even if you have to mark it on the calendar because you're going through a dry period. I've heard it said before that sex is the lubrication that keeps the friction down in a marriage. And so you don't want to use it as a weapon against someone by withholding it from your spouse. Both the husband and the wife get the same recommendation from Paul.
And that's why you talk things out before you get married and you discuss those types of things, because some of you, y'all act like, I'm going to go ahead and say it, Jackie. Some of you just act like it's, no, if you want your wife to strip, hey, okay. I'm sorry. I've been a family counselor. And I really believe that you should discuss only with the person that you are courting or that you're having plans, that those things get discussed when you're talking with your counselor before you get married. The both of you are talking to understand that, you know what, do we have these things in common? Do we not have these things in common? You want to know those things. I'm not a believer in try it before you buy it type of stuff, but I believe in having a conversation, a very, very in-depth and deep conversation with someone that you know, as far as mentally, you know them, and that you're really have strong plans to have a union with one another. That's important, because guess what? There's how many people have I told, you're not ready for marriage, and y'all both need not get married. How many people have I told that to? I don't mind when I'm doing family counseling saying, I hate to say this, I don't know what y'all think, what you were thinking. You guys will be in the divorce court in less than 3 months, in less than 6 months. So don't let it just be about the looks. That's another thing women got bad. Oh, he ain't fine to me.
Well, men too?
Yeah, well, especially men, but I'm talking about the women so that the women don't, you know, don't just blame it on, you know, it's the truth.
Everything about him perfect, but he missing a side tooth.
Hey, that can be fixed by a dentist.
You can fix a side tooth, but you can't fix a bad character.
You got it.
All right, so.
Good stuff, Jackie. Good stuff.
So, yeah. So let me keep going. Verse 4, the wife does not have power of her own body, but the husband. Mm-hmm. And likewise also, the husband doesn't have power over his own body, but the wife. Now notice that goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something where you as the man think you're the head of the household, so you can just demand that she give it to you whenever you want it. Well, she has the same right if you're following Paul's recommendations here in the scripture. She also can say, hey, you know, you know, let's go. And there should be some reasonable compromise and accommodation.
Correct.
Both directions, the not word, just one or the
word is reasonable. I like the way you said that, reasonable.
Because it says, render unto your wife
due
her
affection.
Due affection. And likewise, the wife should render unto her husband his
due affection.
Mm-hmm. The wife has not power over her own body, but the husband. Now this, and likewise also, the husband does not have power over his own body,
but
the
wife.
Now notice, this is not talking about you own each other.
Right.
Okay, we're not talking about I own you or you own me. What this is talking about is that both of you have willingly submitted to one another so that you can create the oneness that reflects God.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Be a winning team.
And
okay?
So it says in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 7:5, if you just jumped in, defraud ye not one another. Okay, to defraud somebody means to withhold. Mm-hmm. We've just been talking about that. Withholding sex or using that as a weapon against your spouse. So it says, don't defraud each other unless it be with consent.
For a season.
And for a time.
For a season.
That you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And then come together. And then come together again so that Satan doesn't tempt you.
Right.
For your incontinency.
Break that word down for incontinency. Break it down.
And then Paul says, but I speak this part by permission and not of a commandment. So he's saying this is not a commandment from God, but this is my best recommendation. So let me go back
what
and
is
reinterpret
the word
that.
Yes.
Let me go reinterpret this in Lady J modern English here for you. Don't withhold sex from your spouse unless you both agree to it by consent. And it's only for a period of time. You know, okay, so, you know, these next 3 days, baby, I got to fast. So we're not going to do it for 3 days. Are you good with that? And then your spouse will say yes or no. So it says both with consent and for a time. In other words, it's not just, well, you know, I don't know when we're going to get back together and link up again. I don't know when it's going to be. I'm just not feeling you right now. And so, you know,
that's
I don't know when. No, it says that if you're going to withhold sex from your spouse, it needs to be by consent and only for a specified amount of time that you agree to. And the purpose of even withholding is so that you can give yourselves to fasting and prayer. So if you're not actually fasting and praying for some specific reason, you really should not be withholding from one another, is
That's
what he's
right.
getting at.
That's right.
And he says, and after that time period is over that you agreed to, he says, come back together again. Make sure you link back up again. Break that fast together, y'all.
Hook back up.
And he says, do that so that Satan does not tempt you
right.
to want to sleep with someone else. That's what the incontinency is
yeah.
all about. Have you ever heard of being incontinent? That means you can't hold your pee. Well, incontinency in this context means that you can't withhold your urges, but you don't get them fulfilled by your spouse. In other words, if I'm incontinent, I'm peeing when I don't want to pee, or I'm peeing where I don't want to pee. So in this
you're not an animal.
Satan tempting you with incontinency means that he's tempting you to go and get those needs fulfilled by someone else rather than your spouse. That's what it's saying. So he's saying, if you're going to withhold from each other, let it be because you're fasting and praying. You both agreed to it, and it's only for a short time. And when the fast is over, get back together so that while that fast is going on, you're not tempted to sleep with someone else. Right. That's what he's saying here. Right. Okay. And then he says, this is my recommendation. He says, I speak this by permission and not of a commandment. So he's not saying that the Lord says this is how you have to do it, but he's saying this is my best recommendation to keep your marriage strong and to keep that union together. Okay. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, for I would that all men were even as I myself. This is that gift of singleness that we were talking about. Paul was not married when he wrote this. So he's saying, I wish that everybody had that gift of singleness like I have. Mm-hmm. So he goes on
and
he says,
singleness does not mean selfishness, okay?
No, it doesn't.
Being single of heart and mind does not mean that you're selfish and you just, you know, that doesn't mean that. Okay?
So some people have the gift of singleness or the gift of celibacy. Mm-hmm. Now, all of us should be celibate until we are married because that is the Bible way. But some of us just have a gift to where it doesn't burn on the inside. It's not motivating us. It's not distracting us. Mm-hmm. You know, some people just aren't as dialed in to those physical urges like other people are, and they have a gift of singleness.
Right.
So he says, I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. So it's okay that you have needs. Did you know that?
That's right.
It's okay that you have desires. It's a proper gift.
See, that's the word, is proper gift, okay?
It's okay that you have desires, that you have physical urges, that you have what feel like needs or cravings in the physical sense to have someone in an intimate way.
Anytime you give something like that to someone, that's a gift. That's the reason why I said proper gift. It's a gift, okay?
So then he goes on to say, but every man does have his proper gift of God. So if that's just not your strong suit and you just really have a very high drive and you just really, that is just something that is very loud in your life, while you are asking God to help you to maintain discipline and self-control over your own body, it is okay to say, okay, God, I need a spouse because this is
all these beautiful women walking around here, all these handsome, these gorgeous looking men walking around here.
I will be single because I honor you.
Right.
But that is not my gift. And God, please send me someone. Okay. That's okay too.
Right.
So in verse 8, it says, I say therefore to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. So if you're unmarried, or you were married, but you lost your spouse for some reason.
Right. Whether they passed away, we mean literally.
It is good that you treasure your singleness while you're in the season of singleness. Treasure that singleness.
Right.
But if the unmarried woman, the single woman, or the widow cannot contain, if you just don't have that gift of singleness, you just have needs. You just got to have it. She got to have it. Remember that movie?
They had a whole bunch of likes. Thank you for the likes.
Remember that movie from Spike Lee? She got to have it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. I'm going way back in the crates around that one. Anyway,
some people are like, what is that?
But it says, if they cannot contain, let them marry. So if you just really need that in your life, it's all right. Go ahead, get married.
And that means really, really get a divorce. If you're to stop doing it, if you know that you're married, either get a divorce or a writ of divorce, or depending on how you got married. Now, if I was to get married again, I'm doing it with the sand. That's it. Okay. And guess what? You can't put each sand a different color back into their own one. So that's how long we're going to be married. Okay. You can't put the sand when you have different colors and mix them. You can't put them separated again. So, but at the same time, because I don't, you know, these laws of the land are really different, but at the same time, be bold. Learn how to, that, you know what, because a lot of people, they've been holding on, okay, they've been in a loveless marriage, they've been separated in different things, because you have also have to speak to that as well. And you're scared to get a divorce. The reason why you're scared of divorce, because you think that she gonna take all the money, or he's gonna take all the money, or, you know, nothing will change. Stop being scared. Stop being fearful. F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Stop being fearful. If you got married through the law of the land, then you need to get divorced through the law of the land. Cut those Irish penance. Repent to God, because you know I have an issue with that. Repent to God and say, I repent, and then get your writ. That means writ of divorce, that this is not going to work. And make sure that you've tried everything that you know to get it right. A lot of you ain't tried not even one iota. It's just because, I know one. She's fat. After she done had 3 or 4 kids by you. Take her to go work out. Go work out. Am I lying?
Well, go work out with her, because you look like you're pregnant too.
I'm done.
Shoot. You complain about her. Doggone. So
look, you saying they huffing and puffing too,
right? You're not able to give her due affection anymore because you can't see it or find it. Oh my gosh, let me stop. Okay, anyway.
Your sword is sharp on both sides,
man.
It's listen, piercing.
Okay, we're getting here near the end. Let me quit playing. So let me finish out this little section here. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 9. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry
than to burn.
Verse 10, and unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord.
Yes,
let
King
not the
Jesus.
Wife depart from her husband. And then, and then it goes on to talk about marriage, divorce, all that stuff, which I'm going to skip past that because that would be another whole topic. But yeah. I want to run down to verse 27. And it says, are you bound to a wife? Seek not to be loosed. In other words, if you got a wife, tend to your own garden. Don't be trying to throw her away or throw away your 40-year-old wife for 220-year-old women. You know, don't throw away your 40 for 220s. Tend your garden, okay?
That's just selfish if you do.
It says, are you loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. If you got divorced, don't be in a hurry to find another one. Work on yourself,
right.
Becoming the man of God that you should be for his purpose and
being
season
singleness
right now.
In heart. Being singleness in heart.
And he says in verse 28, 1 Corinthians 7:28, but, and if you marry, you haven't sinned. And if a virgin, meaning a woman, if a virgin marry, she has not sinned if she gets married. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I'm trying to spare you that trouble. In other words, if you do get married, there are going to be challenges in your relationship. Even the most perfect marriages will have challenges in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And by challenge in the flesh, what I mean is that it is a miraculous thing to take two people with two family histories, two
different
medical histories, two cultural
different
backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
two value systems, two family structures.
Which is why you get counseling, before you get married.
And the process of molding those two people from such different backgrounds together to be one unit,
mm-hmm.
that is tough in the flesh. It's tough in the flesh. It's tough to take two and make them to become one.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's saying, you know, if you're not married, you will avoid some of that challenge that it takes to mold and merge and mesh two people into one.
Mm-hmm.
But it is worth it if you do choose to. And that's why he says, if you're married, don't be seeking to be not married. Just work on getting back to the becoming one process. Just like sandpaper. Sandpaper it doesn't feel good when it's doing its rubbing process, but the result is very smooth. And so, yes, it might take some sandpapering for the two of you to become one. So that is just part of what comes with being in a marriage. That's why you want
to
choose well.
Marriage counseling before you get married, even if you're in your 50s and 60s and 70s, you still need to say, we need some counseling. Let's just talk some things. And you know what? There's such thing as being your own counselor too, if you know some things, like what we're teaching now, and sharing those things, they really do help. They really do.
So quickly here, nevertheless, you'll have challenges.
if you are married. But he says, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they have none, and they that weep as though they haven't wept, and they that rejoice as though they haven't rejoiced, and they that buy as though they haven't possessed anything, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world is passing away. In other words, this world is passing away. So all of these things that we think are so important right now, meeting our needs and finding Mr. Right or finding Mrs. Right and all that stuff, that's fine. But this world is passing away and the right. time is short. So he's saying, don't be so focused on finding a man, finding a woman, that you miss the bigger right. objective that God has.
That's,
and that objective is that this world is not our home.
That's your soul.
And so if you haven't found Mr. or Miss Right right now, that's okay, because this world is passing away anyway. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so hard to find a good mate, because this world is passing away and it is corrupting everything along the way, making it more difficult for godly people to find each other right. and really become one. So he's right. saying it's okay if you want to get married, but don't make that your big and only focus. Because some of y'all only go to church because you're looking for a spouse.
Ugh.
That's the reason why you go, is because you're hoping you can find somebody. And that's an okay motive.
Yeah.
But the real motive for being in church is so that you can be more like Christ and he can be in you more. The fruit of the Spirit will manifest even more in your life.
Right.
And then the Holy Spirit knows how to attract kindred spirits together.
That's right. Now we're talking.
So that's really what it should be about. If you focus on Christ, he will lead and guide and direct if and when there should be someone else added to that mix.
Right.
But what you don't want to be is a broken person finding another broken person and y'all two broken
together.
People trying to make a non-broken unit.
Yeah.
That is very difficult to do. So focus,
I think they say,
on Christ.
Nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
Right.
But you got to have something if you want to be with me. I think that's the way that song goes.
So
I'm not sure though.
So running through this in verse 32, 1 Corinthians 7:32, but I would have you without carefulness. In other words, I don't want you to have to be worried about all those things. He says, he that is unmarried cares for the things that belong to the Lord, mm-hmm. how he may please the Lord. That's basically what I just said. But he that is married cares for the things that are of the world, how he right. may please his wife. When you become married, now it's not just your own needs and your own thoughts mm-hmm. and your own opinions and your own desires and your own future and your own purpose and your own goals. Now you also have to incorporate your spouse into that mix.
Right, right.
So your interests will be a little less focused on the things of the Lord, because you must also be concerned about the matters of your spouse.
Right.
He says there is also a difference between a wife and a virgin, which means an unmarried woman.
Correct.
The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cares for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. You mm-hmm. notice how it goes both ways.
Right.
Both the husband and the wife, when you get married, you should be concerned about the needs and desires and likes and dislikes of your spouse.
Right.
That is a proper thing, to be concerned about their needs. But your focus and your orientation toward the Lord should be number one. And he says, I speak this for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely or good, and that which may you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So while you are single, mm-hmm. this is the most unique season in your life,
yes.
to be single-mindedly focused on the Lord without distractions.
Hallelujah.
Because I don't know about you, but once you start,
hallelujah.
Once you start doing the bumpity bump, sometimes that's the only thing you'll be thinking about is the next time you can do the bumpity bump.
Or the humpity hump.
That's all you can think about, is when you're going to get to do it the next time. And all day long, you're thinking about what happened last night.
Or
that's
the dumpity dump.
That's a distraction.
Right.
And sometimes it can be hard. You in your prayer closet trying to pray, but you're thinking about what he did last night or what she did last night. It's
it's okay if it's your husband or your wife, but there has its place.
And he's not saying that there's anything wrong with that.
Right.
But what he's saying is that while you are single,
right.
now is the time
right.
to use this time
right.
to be 100% focused on the Lord without distractions,
right.
so that he can bring his greatest glory
hallelujah.
In your singleness while you are single.
Yep.
And then when you and your godly spouse eventually meet each other, come together, then you will show God's glory in a different way. Mm-hmm. But then there will also be more elements to showing that glory, because the two then are becoming one, and you have to be concerned about one another's needs.
Right.
So he says, but if any man thinks in verse 36 that he behaves himself uncomely or not right toward his virgin, if she passes the flower of her age and needs so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Ooh, let me break that down.
I think you should. I believe
says,
you should.
If a man has met a woman and he really, he digging on her. He's shining. He got a shining to her. He wants to marry her. She wants to marry him, whatever. It says, if she passes the flower of her age, what that means is that she's past puberty, she grown. So this is how you know pedophilia ain't the way.
Come on.
Because right here, it says, you shouldn't even be entertaining this virgin,
nasty
this
suckers.
Woman, mm-hmm. unless she is past puberty.
And that's that. And when I say suckers, that's male or female.
Okay.
Okay, get it right. Get it right.
And if the needs so require, let him do what he wants to, and he doesn't sin, let them marry. Okay? That's why we don't marry children. That's why we don't marry 13, 14, 15-year-olds. Keep in mind, the culture of that time, back in that day, in ancient Hebrew times, women's menstrual cycles didn't really happen until around 15 years old-ish. We in America, we've seen girls get their cycles as young as like 9 years old. But during ancient times, when they didn't have all the toxins and processed foods and chemicals and antibiotics and growth hormones in the
sad.
Milk and everything,
it's really sad.
Their cycles didn't happen till probably 15, 16. And the men weren't that old because their lifespan was only 30, 40 years old. So it
well,
was,
they didn't, because some of them were working so hard, they didn't live as long either.
So,
there's a lot to unpack.
So I'm driving to a point here, is that you should not be entertaining no young girls. Now our American
nasty butt.
Our American laws and customs
nasty.
Say 18 years old is the legal age for a young woman to get married. But then we have other laws, depending on your state, that say a young woman can be emancipated, or a young man can be emancipated at, I think, either 15 or 16.
And they're not. Some of them ain't. Some of them don't have the scruples and the intellect either. They don't know what they're doing either.
So now, just Lady J's personal opinion, I think 18 years old is probably the minimum where you should even be considering getting married. And any younger than that, there's a reason why we have statutory rape laws.
Correct.
In America, okay?
Right.
But we are looking at the culture in which this passage was written. And even in this culture, you weren't supposed to mess with that young lady until after she hit puberty, which was probably 15, 16 on up. Okay?
And if you did, you had to pay. Am I right? You had to, you were considered
well, yes,
married. If you did it, if you felt it and dealt it, it's yours. Yeah.
So here we go, contrasting this to, say, Islam. In
Come
Islam,
on.
The person that they call Prophet Muhammad, he's not a prophet, but they call him the Prophet Muhammad. He had some wives, but the one in particular that we're talking about, her name is Aisha. And
Whoa.
According to their writings, which I could pull up another time, but this is outside of the scope of our conversation
mm-hmm,
today.
Mm-hmm.
But it says in their own writings, according to both Muhammad and Aisha, they both testified of the same thing, that he married her at six and he...
Nasty butt!
And he consummated the marriage when she was 9 years old.
That's rape. Nasty
and we
butt.
Know... We know also from their writings that she had not yet hit puberty, because it said that she was still playing with dolls.
Correct.
And in their Islamic teachings, dolls were a form of an idol, but they would allow children to play with dolls until they hit the time of menstruation, at which point in time, then they were no longer allowed to play with dolls. So Aisha herself testified she was still playing with dolls when Muhammad, with his adult self,
nasty butt,
took her, and you can fill in the blank from that. That is the religion of Muhammad, who they say is, you know, just a fantastic religion. I'm sorry if the main leader of my whole religion is a pedophile.
That's
I can't get with that.
I hate to tell you, Jackie, That's why I'm happy I didn't have no girls. I had all boys. All four. All boys, boys, boys. Even though I lost two, they're still my sons. All four. I had boys, okay? Because I don't know what I would do. Nope.
Well, nowadays you got to protect your boys just like you got to protect your girls.
You know what? There's a reason why I got a shotgun and got plenty of ammo. I have a machine gun. I will light up my life. That's what you'll be seeing.
All right. So contrast that with what we have in our Christian scriptures. In the Christian scriptures, you shouldn't even be entertaining this virgin, this woman, until at least after puberty. At least. And even then, you're supposed to be containing yourself and living as unto the Lord. But it says here, Paul says that in verse 36, so if he just feels like he just can't contain himself and he really wants to be with this woman, this young lady, physically, at least she has to pass puberty first. And they need to get married. He can't just take her and do what he wants. They have to be married.
Now, what example can we give in the Bible where he had to wait?
Jacob.
There you go.
Jacob and Leah. He had to work for 7 years because he wanted to get with Rachel, a young lady. And the father,
she was a child still.
Well, the father said, well, you're gonna have to work for me for 7 years if you really want to get her. You know, this is called a dowry in Africa. Correct. In a lot of African cultures, they still have dowries where you have to bring some goats or some vegetables or whatever. There's some sort of exchange that takes place between the man and the father's and the family in order to say, this woman is valuable enough to me that I want to demonstrate her value to
Correct.
Me and demonstrate that I have the means and the ability
to take care of her
when I marry her.
Right.
So it wasn't just you just saw some girl, you liked her, and you slept with her. There's a whole process.
Mm-mm.
So Jacob,
if you did something like that,
so Jacob had
you.
To
they would
Jacob
literally
prove
murder you.
That he really loved her by working for Rachel's father for 7 years, and then Rachel's father, he did a okie doke, he did an old switcheroo on her and had him marry Leah first, but he still wanted Rachel so much that he worked for another 7 years.
Yep.
Can you imagine if you're a man and you want this wife and you just love her so much and want her so bad that you're willing to work for 14 years
but do you know
to
why
get
that
the privilege
happened?
Of marrying her?
But you have to explain why that happened to him.
You tell it.
You can tell it. Because he tricked his own,
a whole other topic.
Yeah.
We'll get on to that.
Basically because of what he did, then the same switcheroony got on him.
But let me finish this.
That's why you
got to
be careful what you do.
Pardon me. But he says it's not a sin if he marries this woman because he really wants to be with her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you really want to be with a young lady, it's better to marry her than to take her virginity or to fornicate with her, or even worse, to marry her before she's ready to be married.
Sure
whatever that means, whether
sure
that means physically,
age.
Legally,
yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not right. And it's not right if you're 30, 40 some odd years old and you got this little 18-year-old girl and you know she don't know nothing and
because
you manipulate
you
her.
Because you can't get a grown woman.
Because you don't want someone age appropriate.
Right.
So you want some young mind that you can mold. Okay, that's not cool either. The context of this passage is she should be ready to be married and you should marry her before you indulge physically. That's the point, okay?
That's right. Right is right.
So in verse 37, it says, nevertheless, he that stands steadfast in his heart, having no necessity but has power over his own will and has so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, does well.
Mm-hmm.
So what is he saying here? He's saying the first guy, he really wanted to marry this woman. And he just couldn't hold it. He couldn't contain himself. He couldn't wait. He was impatient. He just had to have her. There were expectations in that field. But Paul says it's better if you have someone that you're interested in, but you can stand steadfast in your heart. You're not governed or
you're ruled by your flesh, you have power over your will, and that you will wait until the appropriate time or season or when things are right to marry her, mm-hmm. that's even better.
Yes.
So don't try to force or manipulate or coerce a woman to marry you just right. because you want to have sex with her and you don't want to wait. That's what he's saying
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
So then in verse 38, he that gives her in marriage does well, but he that is not in a rush or doesn't give her in marriage does even better. The wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if right. her husband is dead, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only right. in the Lord. But she is happier if she abides after my judgment. In other words, stays single. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. So that is...
And that also applies to... Because some people say, well, that has happened before, believe it or not, where the person will step out on them and they want a divorce, but they haven't stepped out on the other person. And so they just basically hold you up in the marriage from getting a divorce. Haven't we seen that before?
That's called putting away.
Right.
And that's just as bad, if not worse, than divorce. If you're going to end it, then you should end it. And don't leave that person in limbo or hanging to where they can't move out of that season or get closure. That's not right either. And
right.
that's another topic. Now, the whole topic of marriage and whether or not you can get remarried after you get divorced, that topic is pretty complex. I think this passage is a good start for that. That, first of all, you should choose well and you should have self-control and not just rush into a marriage because you want to have sex. But if you do get married, you need to do the work to really become one.
Mm-hmm.
If you do get divorced, you should not just put her away and leave her in limbo. Likewise for the man.
Right.
And if you have divorced by scriptural grounds for divorce, that you can remarry, because Paul's recommendations here, he says that it's his recommendations, not necessarily the Lord. You can get remarried, but you should first seek to reconcile with your spouse and do everything absolutely possible to reconcile with your spouse before you end that closure.
Mm-hmm.
And some of y'all saying you tried everything, but you didn't
really
go to counseling. You didn't You know, there were a lot of things that you didn't try. Just gave up.
Or did you even ask? See, that's just the conversation is to just
And there
ask.
Were a lot of verses that we skipped in that passage that talk
ask.
About the believing spouse versus the unbelieving spouse.
Right.
It, you know, if you get divorced because your spouse is an unbeliever, and let's say you got saved and they didn't and they
You're
don't want to stay,
right.
it says you can release them and let them go. But if they
say
do
that
stay,
again, slow down on that.
Well,
now, listen,
I'm going fast because I'm trying to get done.
Slow down on that part right there. Read it again so they understand.
If you got saved and your spouse did not get saved,
not.
And they do not want to stay,
and
they want to get divorced from
right.
you. Paul says it's okay to get divorced in that instance. But if they didn't
do.
Get saved and
right.
they do want to stay, allow them to stay. Don't divorce them, because your faith in
Thank
Christ
you.
Is a covering over your household at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, divorce and remarriage is a complex topic.
Yes.
A lot of churches, you know, a lot of different people debate the different sides to it. Lady J's personal stance is that you should not get married until and unless you both know and have confirmed by the Holy Spirit that it's the right person. You should get the appropriate counseling before you go into it. You should do your best not to fornicate with the person before you get married, because that way you will keep your mind from being clouded and keep your judgment from being clouded. Once you are married, if you got married, you weren't saved, and now you are saved, but your spouse wants to leave, they can leave. If they want to stay, they can stay. You continue
mm-hmm.
to pray for them that God will bring them to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do get divorced, before you get divorced, do everything possible to save your marriage, because
mm-hmm.
God says he loves marriage and he hates divorce.
Mm-hmm.
If you do get divorced, make sure that you spend a season of singleness so that you do not take any baggage into
mm-hmm.
your next relationship. And make sure that you use any season of singleness that you are in
mm-hmm.
to have the most unique and special time without distraction for the things
yes.
of the Lord while you have that time of singleness
mm-hmm.
and your interests are not divided. So there you have it.
Yeah. And there are some, being a counselor, there are some non-negotiables. If the person who is your husband or wife, to me, there's a non-negotiable. When I counsel, it's a non-negotiable if you mess with a child. I don't care. Boy, girl, doesn't matter. If you do it, I don't care who you're married to, whether they want to be stay married or not married. Gone. Done. Bye. So long. Farewell. Avita, say goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye. So I hope this blessed you this week. Again, tell your friends about the radio station 100.3 FM. Yes. Also, join us on any social platform you like at Mind His Business. The radio station is at Gospel Music Omaha. Make sure that you tune in to our morning show every Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. to hear the rebroadcast of this broadcast today, as well as if you want to hear this again or any of our past episodes, go to mindhisbusiness.com where we have all of our past episodes. You can just yummy, yes, as much love and Lady J as you can possibly consume right there on the website, mindhisbusiness.com. So I think we're going to put a dot there at the end of that because dinner is calling me. Or, well, lunch, breakfast, whatever
we're
time
on our
you're
way,
listening
Mama.
To this.
Mama, guys, we're on our way.
So have a blessed week this week.
Yes,
I'm
indeedy.
Lady J.
And I'm Love Love.
We'll see you next time.
Ciao.